Well, thank you for the introduction, Dr. Ortega, and thanks everyone for coming. I just want to get a feel for the room. How many people are actually doing a corner store makeover or thinking about doing one or thinking about writing a grant for one? Okay, so this presentation is based on a question that we get at the end of every session that we do about corner stores, where people pretty much are like, how did you choose your stores? And we actually had a very, I won't say elaborate process, but we did put a lot of thought into it. So I think that this will be hopefully an informative presentation. If you have any questions as I go along, please feel free to raise your hands. I have no disclosures to disclose. But yes, my name is Brent Langelier. I'd also like to thank my co-authors, Jeremiah, Dr. Prelip, and Nathan Chang, who I'll be telling you a lot about during the presentation. And then, of course, special thanks to the entire team. So this corner store intervention could not be possible without a whole range of different people from the community in East LA to our partners that work with youth that you'll hear about, to Nathan, to the whole research team. So thank you to everyone. So I think there are several steps to store selection. First, you need to choose your target community. Our work is in East LA. That's, you know, Jeremiah just talked about, it's a food desert. There's a lot of opportunity there for growth in the healthy food market. But the first thing that you need to do is choose a target community. And after that, you need to figure out, what does the food landscape look like? And we'll talk about how you might go about doing that. You need to assess store and neighborhood characteristics, because there are certain things about neighborhoods. You want to be in certain types of neighborhoods, maybe, and you don't want to be in other types of neighborhoods. So we'll talk about that. And then I really want to stress this last point, is that you have to get store owner buy-in. So I'm going to go through a whole bunch of criteria that we think make for a really good corner store candidate for a makeover. But I just want to say that the trump card is kind of getting store owner buy-in, because it can be a totally perfect store. And if the owner isn't, you know, into you, isn't into the idea, if you don't have that buy-in, you have to just, you know, move on to the next store. So that really is the trumping factor. So I want to stress that up front. So how do you identify food outlets? So I think that there's a couple different ways that you can go about doing this. One of the easiest is to use commercial business listing services. So these are things like Dun & Bradstreet or Reference USA that make millions of phone calls a year to a whole bunch of different industries, essentially every business in the U.S. And they do this primarily for creditworthiness. So banks use this information to assess the creditworthiness of firms, but it's really good for us as the research community, because we can get a whole bunch of different data about businesses where we want to work online through these agencies. If you work in California, the California Department of Public Health has a really good website where you can download a lot of this data, or your local departments of public health might have these data. But essentially what it looks like is you can go online and you can figure out a whole bunch of different information, like the sales of your store, the exact location of your store. A lot of times you can get the name of the business owner, the contact information, the number of employees, the square footage, all these different things that are really important for selecting a store, as we'll talk about. So that, I think, is a really key thing to do up front. But you can't decide what store you want to work with unless you actually go out into your neighborhood and spend a little bit of time looking at all your different candidate stores and kind of getting a feel for what they look for, what the owner's like, what kinds of foods they offer, how much space is in the store, so things like that. And so the map on the right is something that you can kind of compile. This is just a map of where corner stores are, where supermarkets are, where a local school is. So we partner with schools, so it's really important for us that they be around a school. But I think that getting maps like this can really give you a nice idea of the food landscape in the place where you're thinking about working. So here, now I'm going to talk about our framework for store selection. We really see there being three essential ingredients in a corner store makeover. The first thing that you need is interventionist buy-in. So you need somebody that's willing to, you know, do the grant writing, that is going to be the outside person. So that would be, you know, us in this room. But even more important than that, you need store buy-in, like I said, because not only do we want them to accept the makeover and get on board with it, but this has to be a sustainable intervention. So eventually we would like to walk away from the stores and have them be just as successful. So it's really critical that you develop a relationship with a store owner and that they buy into the intervention. The other thing is, and we talk about this all the time, and I think Mina will talk about it at length, but we see the corner store makeover as you can't just change the environment and expect people, you know, to change their behavior, right? You need to create a market for healthy food. So you really need community buy-in to do that. So we have a social marketing campaign that is, you know, designed around getting people to want to buy healthy foods. So that's a really critical aspect of it. So when you're choosing your community and when you're choosing your neighborhood within that community, really important to think about how you can get community buy-in. So how did we go about creating our framework for selecting stores? There's really very little empirical evidence. For those of you that are thinking about doing a corner store makeover, you might have looked through the literature and said, hey, there's only 5 to 10 of these things that have been done across the country. So how am I supposed to figure this out? Well, that's true. There's very little empirical evidence. So one of the challenges that we had was coming up with these criteria. So what we did was we worked with this guy named Nathan Cheng, who's a former business owner, used to own a corner store, very successful, and he kind of had a healthy corner store. And he's worked here in Oakland and down in South LA, and now he works with us in East LA, and he's kind of the go-to guy for corner store makeovers in Los Angeles. So at the beginning of the process, we went and sat down with him. We're like, okay, Nathan, what are all these different things that are important for a store makeover? And so that's one of the ways that we came up with these criteria. The other was, you know, health theory. So what are these criteria? So the way we're thinking about this, they should be in a residential area. If you want to break down corner stores into two different categories, I would say that there's corner stores that are kind of embedded in a local neighborhood, and then there are corner stores that are on a major street. And those, the ones that are on a major street, we think are less ideal for corner store makeovers because they're more likely to serve people that work in the area, people that are commuting through the area, whereas the ones that are embedded back off a major street really are the smaller stores that serve that community. So because we're trying to improve the health of a community and we want to be able to measure it afterwards, we wanted to target those stores that are back in residential areas. We want them to be owner-operated, so it would be great if we could work with, you know, a huge chain like 7-Eleven or Circle K. But for our purposes, it would be, you know, very difficult to do that because the chain of command would not, you know, allow them to make all the changes that we are promoting here. So really working in an owner-operated store is critical. Another thing that you may not think about is that the store has to be large enough to offer a significant inventory of healthy foods. So a lot of times stores like this will have a significant amount of unused space, so you can sell the same amount of merchandise by just reconfiguring the store and creating a large amount of space. That's actually what we've done in the stores that we've worked with to this point. So it doesn't necessarily have to be an enormous store. There just has to be some space for you to sell healthy produce. And we wouldn't want it to be extremely close to a comprehensive supermarket because that kind of defeats the purpose, right? If people in that neighborhood already have access to, you know, pretty high-quality, low-cost fruits and vegetables, then you could kind of argue that there's not so much of a need for a corner store makeover. So these are all some of the factors that we consider. The other thing is that we wouldn't want it to look like a made-over store already. So this isn't super common in East LA, but like Jeremiah said, in the Mission area, you have a lot of stores that already look like a made-over store. So that being the bottom store in the picture. Jeremiah mentioned this as well. We don't want them to have engaged in illegal activities. So things like selling alcohol to minors is a big one, or illegal things happening outside of stores with, you know, food stamps or WIC or things like that. They must have consistent foot traffic. They must be frequented by neighborhood residents because, again, we're trying to improve what neighborhood residents eat. They have to have good customer service and show owner investment. So one of the issues with corner stores is that the distributors like Frito-Lay and Coca-Cola kind of have a lot of leeway in what gets sold in the stores, where everything is positioned, and, you know, the fruit and, or the chip racks that go up. So one of the things that Nathan really stressed to us was that you can kind of tell how invested an owner is in his store, because if there's, you know, the entire front of the store has liquor advertisements on it. That really means that the distributor is running the store and not the owner. So these are all things that Nathan considers. And particularly the things on this, like customer service, owner investment, these are not things that you're going to find in a commercial database. You have to go to the store, usually multiple times. So doing that formative work up front is really critical for choosing your store. So our data collection, we did use commercial databases like Dun & Bradstreet and InfoUSA to compile a list of all corner stores in our target zip codes. And then we had Nathan go out to 82 corner stores in East LA. So if you work in a dense urban area like Los Angeles, there are a ton of these stores, which is why the commercial databases can help you narrow it down a little bit. It's really good to take advantage of that. But even in our little tiny area, we have about 150 corner stores in three zip codes. So it's kind of a big task to sort through those and find the great candidates for a makeover. So what did we find? Right off the bat, we knew that 23 stores were either too small to sell a significant healthy food inventory or they weren't in a residential area. 11 stores already stocked significant healthy food, so 11 out of 82, so that's actually a pretty low number, I would say. And then of the remaining 48 stores, all of them had fairly consistent foot traffic. 15 of them were owner-operated. 20 sold at least some fresh fruits or vegetables, and people always ask about the illegal activities, so there it is an issue at some stores. So 3 stores had gang members loitering in and around. Illegal activities were viewed by Nathan at 2 stores, and then 10 had graffiti on the exterior, so that's another sign of owner investment because, you know, people are going to be graffiti tagging corner stores, but you want the owner to clean it up within a reasonable time frame. So that is an issue in East LA, I'd say. So conclusions, formative research, really important. You have to do kind of the groundwork to figure out where you want to what stores you want to partner with, because it's kind of a long-term partnership. This is not a 1 or a 2 month issue that you're going to be dealing with. It really is a partnership between you and the store. The other thing is that we found that about half of the stores in East LA wouldn't be good candidates according to these criteria that we've come up with because of things like location, size, and their inventory. And the other thing is that not all corner stores were created equal. They're all, you know, slightly different from each other. So it really is important to get out there, boots on the ground, and see what the stores look like, and look at a wide variety of candidates so that you can make a good decision. Thank you.